Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Monday, the 4th of April, 2011. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings from 9 to 10. We re-air the program from 7 to 8. The lineup for today's show includes our weekly political face-off, today's commentators Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. At the bottom of the hour, a newsmaker interview with former U.S. Senator and current Arizona Board of Regent Dennis DeConcini. Will close out the show with a preview of this Sunday's Susan G. Coleman Race for a Cure. Our show is primarily interview-driven, but there's always room for you if you'd like to dial us up on the Buckmaster Show live line 529-3508. And we begin with our Monday political face-off today featuring Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. Mr. Ash is the Republican Party National Committeeman for Arizona, and Jeff Rogers is the chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Gentlemen, good to see you.
Good morning, Bill.
Hi.
Democrats are portraying this year's legislative session as a failure, but Republicans say it's anything but that. In fact, they say it's been a remarkable session with the state's first balanced budget in 5 years and a budget that was passed and sent to the governor in under 100 days. Jeff Rogers, let's begin with you. What do you think of this budget?
Well, it's remarkable. I'll agree with that. If you believe in jobs for Arizonans, if you believe in the future of Arizona and affordable college education, and you believe in attracting companies that will come here because of a wonderful K through 12 educational program, I think you have to be extremely shocked at this budget.
What do you think, Bruce? Is it a success?
Well, it was a success, or will be a success, Bill, in spite of the fact that there was no Democrat participation. They were given an opportunity to present a budget. But when you do that, that puts you politically on the line. And frankly, this area of blue down here in Pima County, particularly, that exists, wouldn't stand for anything that smacked of cutting the size and the growth and the direction of government. And this budget is the first really structural balanced budget in 5 years, and the Republicans were forced to do it on their own, as they have with most of the legislation this fall, albeit with some assistance of one lone legislator who represents the Democrat Party here in Pima County.
Well, I hardly think that this solves the structural budget deficit. Here's the problem. We're finding out now as we get into the details of this that they're shoving the burden back upon cities and towns and counties. And it's hardly anything to say you've balanced the budget when what you've done is said, well, we're going to sweep away money that is ordinarily goes to the counties, highway user funds, sweep that away from the counties and instead use it for the motor vehicle department instead of funding the motor vehicle department. And the same thing for the Department of Public Safety. So there's just as much smoke and mirrors here. It's just that they've placed the burdens upon localities.
And Jeff Rogers, once again, they took a shot at, that's not the right terminology, I'm sorry to say that, but they took a swing at Sheriff Dupnik by not only, first of all, cutting the border enforcement unit for Pima County, but tucked into the bill is $1.6 million from the gang and immigration intelligence team enforcement mission. They will fund other counties, but not Pima County.
Right. They'll fund, to a great degree, Maricopa County, which doesn't have anything along the border at all. And the next largest amount of money goes to Pinal County for their sycophant, Paul Babu. And he doesn't have anything along the border as well.
Why would he be a sycophant? Why would you refer to him as a sycophant? He's an elected official who is protecting the citizens of Pinal County.
I don't consider Paul Babu much of a lawman. He's merely a politician. As compared to someone like Clarence Dupnik, who has 55 years of law enforcement experience, Paul Babu came out here a failed politician from the Northeast, and when he arrived here, he began to set himself up to run for office right away. Did a little short stint as a local police officer, and then suddenly ran for sheriff, and now is trying to set himself up for higher office. I have no confidence whatsoever in his ability as a lawman and to protect Pinal County or any place else
from crime. I guess you're conveniently leaving out the small detail that he headed up the air wing for the Arizona National Guard on Operation Jumpstart on the border. I mean, that was a pretty considerable effort, and he has been a police officer and, by all accounts, is doing an excellent job as an elected official in Pinal County. I'm just sorry that you used that word sycophant. I thought all the Democrats were trying to be more civil these days.
Well, I'm not always that way. I don't always buy into the program.
I've noticed.
Well, Bruce, it is troubling that they would single out the sheriff of Pima County, because if you're going to single out him, you're singling out all the people that work for him, that are in law enforcement, and us, the citizens of Pima County. This is punishing us, isn't it, Bruce?
Well, I would say that if the Democrats, who represent most of Pima County, were to cooperate and agree to negotiate and agree to be part of a budget process rather than stonewalling that process and offering no alternative budget on their own because they lack the political will to do so, then perhaps Sheriff Dupnik gets what his legislature members are giving to him.
Bruce, it's kind of disingenuous to say that the Democrats didn't participate in this. I mean, the fact of the matter is they don't even have one-third of the votes in either one of those houses. They've been shut out completely of all negotiation. They've been shut out to any of their ideas, and some of their ideas are really quite
radical,
quite wonderful. For instance, lowering the sales tax rate but broadening the base by getting rid of exclusions that basically rob us of revenue.
Talking about Farley's pipe bill?
Farley's pipe bill.
Wow.
And all the other things are wonderful ideas. They're wonderful
now
ideas that not only make it fair, but also would attract investment into this state and have a level playing surface for all businesses of all kinds.
Didn't Democrats want to take part and try to take part in the process?
Democrats did everything they could to be a part of this process, but the problem was that the Republicans wouldn't allow them any role whatsoever. And as to this Dupnik matter, I mean, they admit this was petty political revenge. I think there's a quote in the paper today by Pierce where he basically admits that he was doing this for petty political revenge.
I'm sure he used those words. Look, the Democrats have an opportunity. We're given an opportunity by the president of the Senate and the governor to submit a budget. They didn't do that. They put forth a one-page or two-page sort of a synopsis with that's not a budget. It's just sort of this paper that's out there, a white paper, giving it a great deal of credit, and that's the end of it. There's not one Democrat who have voted for any part of the budget. Now, Democrats have repeatedly criticized Republicans for being the party of no. What we're seeing here is a Democrat minority who has rendered the constituents that they're to serve absolutely useless, and they have futile opportunity because their representatives aren't involved in the process by their own choice.
Bruce, there were no public hearings on this budget. It was brought up in the dark of night,
in the middle of the night. Jeff, that's just not true. And please, this thing was rammed through in the middle of the night. No.
What time did it finally pass? Was it 3 a.m.?
Jeff, that's just...
What time did it pass, Bruce?
It doesn't make a difference what time it passed. This thing has been well documented on Arizona Capitol TV. It's online. It's available. And frankly, there have been hours and hours and hours and hours of budget hearings and debate on the budget. Perhaps your guys, though, weren't there. They're answering a lunch bill someplace else.
No, I hardly think so. I was getting texts from them in the middle of the night. Look at what these people are doing without any public input.
They weren't representing their constituents.
They were representing our constituents for what our constituents believe in. Things like quality of education, K-12 education, an affordable university degree. Why, we're at the point now where we're looking at $10,000 a year for a university of Arizona education.
It's all about the kids.
It is all about the kids,
Bruce.
Because if we don't work on the kids, then we don't have a future for the state of Arizona. It is all about the kids. And for the Republican Party, it's about the kids, too, because they have made no secret of their attempt to privatize public education. And now they're moving on to the university.
Show me one public statement, Jeff. Show me one published statement where the leaders, either the governor, the president,
they're
the Senate,
not going to come out and say that.
Oh, okay.
So
this
is put it in bold
a conspiracy
print.
That Jeff Rogers
see,
comes
you
up with.
You can see that the writing is on the wall, that they are trying to make get rid of public education and make it private.
Okay. We're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Face-Off. This is the Buckmaster Show, buckmastershow.com. If you want to see any or hear any of our programs over the past couple of weeks, we'll take a break and be right back with Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Twenty minutes now past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. We are here on the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show live line. We have a caller. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Mr. Ash, I would like to get your take on how the CEOs, the 60 CEOs that said enough is enough, and had the, 9 Republican senators that voted against all the immigration goo that Senator Pierce was trying to do, plus the former CEO of Intel, who said if Intel was looking to build a manufacturing plant in any place, Arizona wouldn't be in the top 10 states. And this is all related to many of the things that are happening with the current majority.
Thank you, Bill, for the question. Let's hear what Bruce has to say about that. Bruce Ash.
Well, Bill, that's actually an excellent question. And, the CEO at Intel, actually, I'm not sure where he's coming from, because they just announced plans to build a $5 billion new facility in Maricopa County. I think that the members of the legislature listen to the words of these various CEOs very closely. I think this was a matter, these four bills, this was a matter that Republicans and Democrats decided to talk together and work on. And Kyrsten Sinema was on John C. Scott's show actually that Wednesday before the vote took place. She knew at that time that Senator Pierce didn't have the votes. I think it probably can be argued, if simply just looking at the votes that were there that day on Thursday when the measures failed to pass, that perhaps, they were listening to these folks. So, the legislative members get it right sometimes. And I think Frank Antonori showed a great deal of courage standing up here in Southern Arizona, voting against those measures. He, on one particular aspect of it, just didn't feel that it met the constitutional challenge. And he backed off, and he worked with other people to do the same.
Jeff Rogers.
Well, I really do want to applaud those business leaders, because that was really an exhibition of leadership. And I particularly want to applaud the two from Southern Arizona, Ron Schutman of SAL. And Jim Click of Click Automotive Group, who stood up for jobs and stood up for the future of Arizona. And we need more of that from the business community, to saying enough is enough. I mean, just today in the Arizona Republic, we see the editorial page headline is "Budget Passed by Legislators Will Erase Jobs." And so what we're seeing across this state, and particularly here in Pima County, we're seeing business groups and local, what we used to think were extremely conservative business people, approach the Democratic Party saying, what can we do to help get rid of people like Bob, Al Melvin, and Frank Antonori?
So some Republicans are perhaps finding
we are.
They might be more at home in the Democratic Party.
Well, with our candidates. They might not be pleased to write a check to the Democratic Party, but they're looking for candidates that are job-friendly and that are going to encourage you. They know that education is the key to development in this state, just like the Intel chief said, former Intel chief. So we applaud that kind of leadership from the business community.
Well, Jeff, if you can achieve that, God bless. I don't think it's going to happen. And I'll make this prediction right here on the Buckmaster Show. Today is April 4th.
4th,
okay?
Yes.
It's not even April Fool's.
2011.
Al Melvin and Frank Antonori, should they decide to run in 2012.
You're going to say they're going to be reelected overwhelmingly.
Will be overwhelmingly reelected, notwithstanding a few people who might have had some behind-the-scenes contact with Jeff.
Well, I can tell you this, that once we see these districts that are drawn, and I'm optimistic that we're going to get much fairer drawn districts this time around with this independent redistricting commission. It's better situated to do a good job this time. So once we see those districts drawn, we'll figure out who it is that's going to beat those two legislators.
We're going to be talking with Senator DeConcini, a member of the Arizona Board of Regents, in a few minutes, Jeff and Bruce. But it is very troubling to many students, begin with you, Jeff, that the state tuition at the University of Arizona, in-state tuition, many are saying they never thought they'd see the day when it's over $10,000.
Well, that, and I look at the law school, is looking at maybe $20,000 per year for in-state tuition. So, I look back at the kind of economically challenged background that I came from, and I needed Pell Grants and what we called National Defense Student Loans at that time to make my way through college and through law school, and I wonder whether or not I would be able to do it under the current circumstances that we see at the University of Arizona right now.
Go ahead, Bruce. Some of your thoughts on a $10,000 tuition.
I don't think anybody likes seeing tuition that high. I think that it's time for all the university presidents to look for new creative ways to raise revenue, whether that be through research and through innovation and so on. And perhaps that needs to take place here in the three university schools. There certainly continues to be a lot of middle management fat in the budget, and I suspect that in order to make the changes that they'll make, it won't just be tuition increases. All three presidents will continue to trim down the size of their staffs.
We haven't talked about Medicaid coverage and what this budget does to those that really are needy and need coverage, Jeff Rogers.
Well, what the governor proposes to do, and the legislature is apparently going to back her up on, is probably not going to be legal. Arizona voters passed a referendum initiative that set forth where the level of need would be access. And I think that we will see a legal challenge to whatever they're proposing to do. But what they're proposing to do, in essence, is cut off about 300,000 people from Medicaid, which is our version is access here.
And Bill, I hope there will be a court challenge. I believe that what we were sold when we had this ballot proposition was smoke and mirrors, that the cigarette tax was going to pay for the cost of adding all of these individuals to the access rolls. And what's happened is we're raising, give or take, $106 to $115 million. And the program, with its current participant level, is now costing close to $900 million. And, perhaps we need to be looking at other more effective ways of cutting. I mean, nobody wants to see anybody end up in an emergency room. And for all of us who are, who go to a hospital and our insurance companies end up paying for that bill. So perhaps what will come out of this is going to be a change in co-payments and maximum payments and all kinds of things that exist in the private sector. Perhaps there'll be rating of individuals as well. People who smoke may be treated differently than people who don't. These are all things that I think ought to be up on the discussion block.
Well, if the governor and the legislators get their way, what we're going to see is we're going to see actual closures of hospitals. We're going to see small town hospitals in places like Bisbee, Sierra Vista, perhaps Prescott, are going to be shut down. There's a concept called the multiplier effect, and when you withdraw funds from something, you're going to lose jobs in healthcare. Those funds are not only fund those jobs, but those jobs in the community fund other jobs. And so the fact of the matter is that the healthcare industry has pointed out we're going to lose millions of dollars in jobs in
healthcare benefits. So you're saying rural healthcare could be decimated.
It could be decimated, and particularly I think one legislator indicated he was terribly scared that this would close the Prescott Hospital.
I think we're more likely to see funding issues at rural hospitals because of the cost of illegal immigration in the state, and what the cost of care to those individuals costs hospitals in the state of Arizona, most likely.
Well, that's not going to change. Those people are going to come into the emergency rooms anyway, and now we're going to add a whole new layer of people in the emergency rooms.
Well, perhaps we ought to protect our borders a little better, too.
Monday Political Face-Off, Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers, thank you very much. Former Senator Dennis DeConcini will be next on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks, Jeff and Bruce.
You're welcome.
Political views collide.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Tucson's Jolt. Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Andy Rose. The plan to try the 9/11 terrorist suspects in a civilian court in New York is dead. Government officials tell us Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the other detainees will be tried by the military at Guantanamo. It will be officially announced this afternoon by Attorney General Eric Holder. Southwest is finishing up its inspections of all its 737s and finding cracks in three more planes. Former Government Inspector General Mary Schiavo says there should be more regulation.
The climate in Washington these days is they don't want to make the airlines do anything unless they can do their cost-benefit analysis.
CNN just got in touch with a woman who was dragged away by Libyan officials after saying she was raped by Gaddafi forces. Ayman El Obeidi says she was detained for 3 days and not allowed to leave Tripoli. In one day this month, McDonald's plans to hire 50,000 new workers all in a single day. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
People come to Ruth's Chris for more than just a great steak. They come to let off some steam. Take Rob, Joe, and Shelley. When they get wrapped up in a week-long assignment at work, they head on over to Ruth's Chris for a much-needed break over some sizzling steak served to perfection. It's a chance for them to loosen up, have a few laughs, and talk about anything. Anything but work, that is. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Serving more than just sizzling steaks.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's 35 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Remember, we're at buckmastershow.com anytime. The tragic shooting in Tucson on January 8th, like thousands of others every year here in Arizona and across the country, did not have to happen. So writes former Democratic U.S. Senator Dennis DeConcini, who represented Arizona from 1977 to 1995. Senator DeConcini is also a member of the Arizona Board of Regents, which oversees Arizona's three state universities. In his recent op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star, the senator wrote that he believes we owe it to the victims of the Tucson shootings not to wait any longer to act. Senator DeConcini joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Senator, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. How are you this morning, Bill?
Doing very well, Senator. Tell me what you were thinking when you wrote this op-ed piece.
Well, I hate to bore you with a lot of details, but I've been involved in the gun issue for most of my political career. I feel very strongly about the Second Amendment. I understand it. I've read the cases. I know the importance and I know the history of it, so that Americans will always have the right to bear arms. But having said all that and having been endorsed on two campaigns and also awarded the Legislator of the Month by the NRA, I've had a good working relationship with them. However, back in the early 90s, we had some terrible incidences at Columbine High School and a few others, and I started working with the NRA then to try to limit or make available all criminal records before anybody would purchase a gun. Congress did pass the national instant check system due to the Jim Brady being shot. I was there for that. We then passed my bill in 92, which banned, 13 assault weapons along with such clips. That bill never passed the House. The next year, Senator Feinstein took that bill from California because I was going to retire. She got it passed the House as well as the Senate, and that had a 10-year sunset clause, and that required this kind of clip not being available. The NRA did not like that bill, and I was no longer there with one of their stars. I came to the conclusion that it is not a constitutional infringement. And having been a strong Second Amendment defender, that is not a constitutional infringement at all to have people who have any type of criminal record or mental record be available before anybody sells them a gun. And had this happened with Lochner in Tucson, he had mental and drug problems in the course of trying to volunteer and get into our military services, and it was not turned in, and that is the problem. The national instant check system has to be enforced, and it is not. And even our military recruiters didn't turn this in because he failed the drug test and he had some mental problems on his record from the military application. So we are asking that this instant check be reinitiated in the sense that it be funded and it be a requirement that states and any organization of government supply this to the national instant check, which means that when somebody buys a gun from a gun dealer, a licensed person, they would have to check with that. Now, having said all that, Bill, and I don't want to be too lengthy here, there's still a big problem with the fact that sales of guns at gun shows are not required to do instant check or to notify anybody that the gun has been purchased. And that's a loophole that the gun lobby, supported mostly by the manufacturers of arms, like, because they sell a lot of guns. Now, many of those sales are very legitimate. People go to these gun shows just like they do to the jewelry show that we have in Tucson and other car shows, and they end up buying something. But also, it's a place where you can buy a gun if you have a criminal record, and nobody's going to check on you.
Excuse me, Senator.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say that there was a column in Sunday's Arizona Daily Star that gun reform really will go nowhere unless the Republican leadership also joins in here and steps up. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I do. Unfortunately, my good Republican friends, and I have many of them, they are really they don't want to take on the gun lobbyists, the NRA and other organizations, even for something that clearly does not infringe on your constitutional Second Amendment rights. And it probably will not happen. All the purpose of my supporting the Mayors Against Gun is to really reinitiate this national instant check system and fund it, and also to stop these types of multiple clips, the 30 clips that was in the original assault weapon ban, to reinstate that. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody wouldn't have four guns that only had 6 bullets in or 10 bullets in or something like that and still be able to do horrendous damage and carnage, but at least it's a little bit of prohibitive. This for someone like Lochner, he would have had to have 2 guns to do the damage that he did, and he had a clip of 30 bullets. You can hurt a lot of people, as was the case.
Senator, I wanted to switch gears here quickly. We've only got about 4 minutes left. You and your other colleagues on the Arizona Board of Regents voting on tuition and fee increases on Thursday. This is extremely important. For the first time, tuition for in-state students could go to over $10,000 a year. Did you ever dream you would see tuition that high at the UA?
I did not, Bill. I did not. I'm really it's very... It's very disappointing, first of all, being a native Arizona and having gone to the University of Arizona for 2 degrees. The state of Arizona, meaning the legislature, used to spend about 20% of the entire appropriated money for the state operation, 20% of it just back in 1980, 20-some years ago, 30 years ago. It was 20% of the whole budget. Now it's below 10. And now they're talking about a minimum of another $170 million and maybe $200 million. This is a responsibility that falls right smack with the Republican legislature for not stepping up and educating our children. And it is very discouraging to me because I have so many strong Republican friends, and I know they feel very strongly about education as well. But obviously, at the state legislature, the message doesn't get through.
I was going to say, Senator, is there really anything that can be done at this point, or is this pretty much going to be a done deal?
I'm certainly not going to vote for all of these increases. I know the schools and our presidents work hard, and the provosts work hard, and their financial people work hard to put together a package, but a 28% increase at the U of A, depending on how you look at it, with tuition and fees and program fees and special fees and what have you, it's between 21 and 28% increase over last year. And at ASU, it's about 20%. It's just more than I think is fair to place on the backs of the students and the parents that send their children to our schools who are residents of our state.
When you look at the budget cuts that the university has taken, it's been dramatic, hasn't it, over the last 2 years?
It has, Bill. You know, President Shelton and his administration have really done, I think, over 600 jobs, some 58 different programs. And I don't say this critical, but more can be done. And one of the things that is very difficult to do and almost unheard of is to look at the tenure system of faculties, because that's where the faculty salaries is where most of the money goes, and rightfully so, because we want to teach our children and we want good faculty. But those are things that need to be addressed, and I don't believe they've been addressed, at least not deep enough under the circumstances.
There are a lot of frustrated people, though, and the university system. This certainly has hurt morale big time.
I think that's very true, and the blame is not with the President Shelton and those at the university. It's with the state legislature.
Okay. Senator Dennis DeConcini, thank you very much for being with us, member of the Board of Regents, and of course, your leadership in Washington talking about gun check efforts that you wrote an op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star. Thank you, Senator, for being with us. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinca Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of five major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Cañada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson community. Our thrift shop donations and sales provide more than half of needed funding, which goes to programs like Operation School Bell. Since its inception, Operation School Bell has provided clothing and school supplies for more than 38,000 children. But we need your help. Donate an item or a financial gift. Shop our thrift store or volunteer. For more information on how you can make a difference, visit AssistanceLeagueTucson.org.
Minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. The 13th annual Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure is this Sunday, April the 10th at Tucson's Reed Park. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Jamie Leopold, the executive director of the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. And on the Buckmaster Show live line, we also have Betsy Rice is with us from the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, and also in studio, Anita Kelman. She's the honorary race chair, and she's the founder of the Cancer Boot Camp. So we'll begin with Jamie Leopold. Thank you all for being with us. Jamie, tell me about the changes. There's some really major changes this year with the race.
What's really important for everyone to know, if you have not already registered for our race, we have about 9,000 people who have. We're looking for 5,000 more people to join us. We have changed locations in our race weekend registration. It typically had been at Elkhorn Mall. And as you know, Elkhorn's going through some construction, and we've moved that race registration to High Corbett Team Shop, which is 700 South Randolph Way.
When do they start registering?
We'll start noon on Friday for anyone who'd like to come down, and we'll have our Komen shop available, which has all of our wonderful Komen products.
You're wearing one of the products right now.
Amazing, very sparkly pin. And we... We'll have that available also all day Saturday until 6 o'clock. And, of course, on-site registration Sunday morning at the crack of dawn. Remember to park early at Elkhorn Mall because our shuttle service runs from 6 to 7:30. And at 7:30, all those streets close down because the race is on.
Good advice from Jamie Leopold. Let's bring in Anita Kelman, the honorary race chair, founder of the Cancer Boot Camp. Why did you start the Cancer Boot Camp? And I hear people just raving about it. I know many women very supportive of it, and you really have made a big difference in this community.
Well, thank you. I started the Beat Cancer Boot Camp because I wanted to empower all cancer survivors to stay strong, stay healthy, and thrive after their cancer diagnosis.
Let's bring in now on our Buckmaster Show live line Betsy Rice. She is a communications specialist with the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Betsy, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. Talk about why this race is so important for your organization to get behind, and how powerful is the story of survivorship, and what does that mean to not only the survivors, but of course, their support, their family and friends?
Absolutely. Well, the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure is a fantastic event. We are so thrilled to be a part of it. This is our third year sponsoring the race in Tucson. And it's just amazing to see such a strong community come out and support one another. Tucson's one of the largest races that we participate in throughout the Southwest. And that story of survivorship is so important because it's so inspirational to so many people. And just like what Anita's doing with the Cancer Boot Camp, you know, when women see other women surviving and thriving and beating this disease, it gives them hope and inspiration and courage to fight their own journey with cancer. And at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, that's what we're all about, is empowering our patients and, you know, helping them win their fight against cancer every single day.
Let's bring now Jamie Leopold back into the conversation, Executive Director of the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. What does this mean, Jamie, to our community and the people who are survivors of breast cancer, perhaps people... Maybe they were just diagnosed with that horrible news, or they're in the middle of the battle. It's so many challenges for these folks.
So many challenges. You know, the most inspiring aspect of our Race for the Cure is the centerpiece of our race, which is our survivor ceremony. And over 800 people join us for breakfast. Then we have a very, very special survivor ceremony to really honor all of those who have come together to really be part of this fight for the cure and to celebrate life. 84 cents on every dollar raised at Susan G. Komen in our Race for the Cure and any other donations stays in Southern Arizona. We serve the 6 counties of Southern Arizona, Yuma County, Pima County, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Graham, and Greenlee counties. Over 40,000 people in Southern Arizona received breast health education. Over 6,000 people received their diagnostic clinical breast exam or mammograms because of this money.
That's
we
wonderful.
Serve the underserved, and over 500 women received some portion of treatment support.
Wow.
These are people who would not have been able to have access to this because they're working poor and underinsured.
Anita Kelman, from the founder of the Cancer Boot Camp, tell me a little bit about the boot camp. How often do you hold these events?
Well, Beat Cancer Boot Camp, it's an exercise support group, and I hold classes currently now 3 times a week, and it's at various parks, and that, again, is open to all cancer survivors. I also have other ways to engage the community in the boot camp program besides getting involved in other community events, you know, like we are with Coleman. We get involved with many other organizations as well. But I do also have annual retreats and fundraisers and different events to bring the community together to thrive through their journey of cancer.
Beat Cancer Boot Camp is having national notice.
Yeah, it's a tremendous program, well, Beat Cancer Boot Camp. And the boot camp goes for how many weeks?
Well, they're scheduled in 8-week sessions, but you can continue. I've had people in there for 6 years nonstop.
They don't want to leave.
They don't.
They're getting fit. And
having fun and thriving. Yeah. Yes, and actually Beat Cancer Boot Camp is going to be going international
cool.
in the fall.
Very good. Betsy Rice, I'll bring you back into the conversation from Cancer Treatment Centers of America. What kind of care would you want for a loved one who is fighting cancer? I think that's really a question that many ask, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and it's the question that the experts at Cancer Treatment Centers of America ask themselves every single day. Is the question that motivates them us to continually research and employ innovative new techniques and therapies to fight cancer on all fronts. And what we call this is the mother standard of care. Just like Susan G. Komen was founded on a promise between two sisters, CTCA was founded on a promise from a son to his mother. It means that our entire focus is driven by the advanced whole person treatment options and the kind of care we would want for our own family members. Our doctors care for our patients like their family. It's really the essence of CTCA. And we've been doing this for almost 30 years. We have been on the leading edge of cancer treatment with a personalized whole-person care model, and we have hospitals across the country. Our average patient travels over 500 miles each way to receive this kind of care.
Wow.
And we're just so proud to be a community partner in Tucson and to be able to support such fabulous events, support Anita Kelman with Beat Cancer Boot Camp, and we're really looking forward to coming down for the race this Sunday. We know it's going to be a fabulous event.
Thank you so much, Betsy Rice, for your input and your organization, Cancer Treatment Centers of America. We had a call on the Buckmaster Show live line for Anita. Where can folks find out more information? What's a good number to call?
Well, you can always look at the website, which is beatcancerbootcamp.com, and a phone number, it's area code 520-546-1601.
One more time.
546-1601.
Okay, and they can always check out the website. Jamie, there was some good news. Arizona has the lowest cancer rates in the nation. We're always in these surveys where Arizona's near the bottom of the barrel, but this was pretty good news.
Can I actually
maybe Betsy
speak to that?
Okay, go ahead.
Can I speak to that?
Go ahead.
Actually, if you read the full article from the Department of Health Services, this report actually indicates that we're seeing a lower rate of mammography and detection.
Oh.
And that cancer rate actually speaks to the fact that people have reduced their early detection activities, and that's a very dangerous number. So we actually suspect what it actually means is that people are delaying early detection. And when they finally find that cancer, it's going to be much too late. Early detection is the key. And so we're very concerned because mammography rates across Arizona, across all economic thresholds, looks like it's dropped almost 50%.
Yeah, you have to read down to near the bottom.
That's an unfortunate. And so that's a thank you so much for bringing that
up. Well,
yeah,
so you can kind of set the record straight here. And another quick question for Jamie. Men really should get involved, too, get out there and support the women for this race because breast cancer touches so many men in their lives. In my own life, my grandmother died of breast cancer, and so it's touches lives across the board.
When I work with groups of people all over Southern Arizona and fundraisers that we do, they actually say that once we have everyone's hands in the air, everyone has been touched by cancer somehow in their lives. Men especially need to be alert to it because men have breast cancer as well.
Yes, it's a very small percentage, but it's just as deadly for men, so that you know, men can get breast cancer. Final word, Anita, I've only got a few seconds left. You urge everybody to come out to the race this weekend, Beat Cancer Boot Camp. Check it out, right?
Absolutely. I'll have my troops out there hoping others will join us. We'll have a fun time doing the walk, and we'll we'll walk it boot camp style.
We got to go, and that's at Reed Park. Thanks also, Betsy, on the phone line. Thank you very much. Ladies, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to have to wrap it up. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We are out of time. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
Local talk at its best.
What are you talking about?
Local talk at its best.
What are you talking about?
Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.